things until John gets here. If you want to look at your calendars again, and we've looked at that, and Senator Hoag was very accommodating, and he has moved to the Taxation Committee, which was on the calendar first, but John, this other John, didn't know about it, to the 2nd of August. So we will continue to have our meeting on the 4th of August. We have then, as mentioned earlier, a redistricting committee meeting in Fargo the 23rd and 24th of August. September, we're meeting right prior to the budget section meeting. We're on the calendar for the 13th and 14th. If we determine after our next meetings that 2 days is too much, we would cut it back to the 14th. But the 13th and 14th. Then we have, yes.
As you plan that thought of squeezing that possibly into just the 14th, I will say that legislative procedures and arrangements, which at least a couple of us are on, is meeting on the 14th in the afternoon.
Okay. Well, we will make sure that everything is fine. But anyway, those dates are still okay. The 27th and 28th of September, you might want to pencil in Devil's Lake as an area to go visit. Nancy Johnson said that she can only have 8 people in her place going to Dickinson. I mean, all of those areas that are either in the midst of flooding or of oil development are tough to bring and get 18 rooms, et cetera, et cetera. But we're looking at Devil's Lake, and that could be a one-day meeting or a two-day meeting up in the Devil's Lake area. And then if you recall, our final meeting is 11 and 12 of October. And then the report has to be done because everything has to be into legislative management by the end of October. So John is putting up on the board. There we are.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, I apparently was late. We had a little computer problem last night with one of the computers. That's being fixed right now. Hopefully nobody else will experience a problem, but there was a message that was given that said that the license was invalid. So our IT people are working with the vendor to do it, because the license is valid. It had worked until last night. So if any of you experience that problem on your computers, give me a call right away. We'll work it out with the vendor as quickly as we can. I hope that that doesn't happen anymore, but we're sorry if it does.
Okay.
Would you like to?
Okay, this is what we're going to do. We have a couple tentative plans to share with you this morning, and we're going to start by actually, for some of you haven't worked with the computer yet, what we're going to do is we're going to show you from point A to point B the city of Grand Forks and how the changes were made and why the changes were made, and you will get that opportunity. So if you would go to the city of Grand Forks area.
Okay, I will, Mr. Chairman. Oops. Senator Christman.
Yes.
And we have the screen on too.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, let's see.
They would both work in the harvest room.
That one is got a green light there, so hopefully we'll see something.
We saw it yesterday.
Yeah. While we're figuring this out, Mr. Chairman, we began printing maps as you requested yesterday. The that I think Representative Casper did. About 5 o'clock, the printer and our toner, so they're refilling the printer right now. And I've also tried to, I hope before you leave today, we'll have a large map like this that has the, on the bottom, they have the 4 major cities too. It's too big for the screen right now. So before you leave, we'll pass out a bunch of paper for you to take home with you. Let's see. Now I need to get my right window.
This is without any changes. It's the current plan is what we want up on the screen. Keep in mind, some areas don't present much of a problem. The city of Grand Forks is one of those areas. Others present huge problems. As one of my Democrat colleagues said, it kind of redistricts itself, the city of Grand Forks, as you will see.
So, Mr. Chairman, you want to start with the current
plan.
Plan.
Yep. The I guess we have to wait. Oh, it's a phone. I thought we were being pinged by a submarine. dive. See, I don't know how to turn mine on to silent, so it'll all of a sudden start screaming. It's a new phone. Okay, we'll start right here. These are the configuration of the city of Grand Forks. Which button do I press?
That one should get
this
one, I think.
Oh, there we are. 4 districts. Historically, they've been about like this for a long time. This is District 17, and you can see it's about 4%, 4.something% over.
4.79.
Yeah, the only one in the northeast part of the state that has a, quote, a surplus of population. We have District 43, which has a minus 2.82. We have District 42, that is 1.13. And then we have District 18, which has included for since forever the air base. 10 years ago, prior to that, we had followed County Road, but 10 years ago, we just gave them the townships there too. So this is what that has been. The impact, not only in Grand Forks County, but in District 18, is the fact that the air base population shrank by 2/3. So that had a negative impact on 19, which is some 22% low.
Oh, excuse me.
And then District 18, which is like 13% low. So when we went looking at what to do, being selfish Grand Forksers, we said, well, let's draw a line around where these districts are right now, and we will solve the problem of the 4 districts in Grand Forks. So if you would zero in on the fact that we have one district that's slightly big, 17, and one district that is quite a bit too small. By the way, this is what you might find interesting. Whether or not you utilize 47, which is what this plan will talk about, or 49, these numbers work perfectly. Okay, so let's start. Here is District 17. Do you want to just bump out once more? Make it just slightly move out. Yeah. It disappeared. You got to, that thing always seems to move even though it doesn't. Okay. So here you've got District 17, which if you do the math can lose about 1,100 people. But if you take 1,100 people from this district and put it into 18, 18 is still short. If you take 400 people from 42, roughly 400 people, you end up with four districts in Grand Forks. The difference in population between the largest, which would be 18, and the smallest, which would be 17, would be 107 people difference between all four districts. So let me show you how, as someone said, it did itself. We wanted to try to make the districts a little more compact. Well, the obvious way to do that is to take this area from 17 and give it to 18. There's 1,900 people in that precinct, but those so you can't take the whole precinct. So if you go over to Cottonwood, John did this over the phone once, so you'll find that we will have removed 1,101 people. Remember I said the ex-wife? No, she doesn't live there. Cottonwood is over a little
bit more. Get a better view.
We got it.
Oops, you missed, didn't you?
Yeah. Nope, that's right. Oh, the street, that's right,
the street jogs. Okay, so put them into 18, back out, and you have made the District 18 a little more compact, and you removed 1,101 people from 17. Now let's go over, and again, when I work on these plans, I'm a minimalist. If I can get by taking 380 people, I would rather do that than taking 400. But I also am a worshiper of straight lines. So if you go up here to District 42 and remove the first three blocks, census blocks, throughout that area, them over in 18, and now back out so we can see. You have made 42 slightly more compact. You've made 18 quite a bit more compact, and you have made 17 a little more compact, and you have not touched 43. There's no changes there. Oops, excuse me, for 43, there's no changes. So if you look at the four districts, the percentages are 18 is minus 2.66, 17 is covered, 2.91, they're the smallest, 42 is 2.1, and 43 is 2.8. If you took these boundaries and applied them on a 49 plan, the only difference would be each one of these four districts would be slightly over the ideal by about 1 to 1.4% over. So they figure in. Are there questions? You want to get in a little closer into 42. Not that it makes any difference to anyone here. There are no people currently serving in the legislature whose residence was changed as far as the district is concerned. There was some discussion about District 42 with an individual I met with. They said, well, can you take out some folks up here and a trailer park? And I said, well, you could, but what you do is you have to follow a bunch of curvy roads, and one side of the street is on and the other side isn't. Here you have identifiable lines. This whole, what used to be this jog here, is a precinct in the city of Grand Forks, and that, of course, would have to, the city would have to adjust those, but they have to adjust their precinct lines anyway, or ward lines, excuse me. And this area here that was put into 18 is again, 1,101 people out of 1,900 people that were in that precinct, and that would change. Now, if you want to move over so we can see the river a little more over here. You know, everyone offers suggestions, and I'm sure you have them. You want to go up just slightly so I can, nope, the other way, the other up. Yeah, a little more. Someone had a suggestion, and I'm not going to say who it was, but there's someone that lives right down here that they hate, and they didn't want them in our district anymore. And I said, well, you can follow the golf course, but it becomes quite ugly, and then you have this god-awful thing here. So we didn't go there. But you do, as you will find, and I'm sure that Larry or anyone else that's working in a city, you find people will have their suggestions. And we tried to take the input from everyone. I'm not saying everyone has signed off on this. All of the folks in Grand Forks who currently serve in the legislature have seen this plan. So are there any questions? Again, we're not adopting anything today. It's just a sense that if we start showing these plans, number one, we have an opportunity for input, and number two, that it spurs everyone on to working that much faster to get things done. If there are no questions, and I think you can realize, you know, it did kind of do itself. It wasn't very difficult. The most difficult thing was getting the computer to turn on and to save it. No, and to try to print it or send it. I was never able to do that, so that's why I had to have John do it in Bismarck while I told him about it. Okay. Then we will... Okay, do you have mine not in here?
Yes, I do.
Okay, we have... some preliminary ideas for the city of Minot that we'd like to present to you. Now, would that be part of our minutes so that people can reflect on that too and actually see it on paper rather than just...
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I do intend to capture that map in a form that we can put in the minutes.
Okay.
And with each of these that are publicly discussed, we'll do that.
And again, subject to change.
Right.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I will expand out on Minot. Representative Ballou, do you want to take the pointer here and...
No.
That top, the top of the arrow, there you go.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When I and others in the minorities first started discussing it, District 3 and District 5 had probably a wee bit too many people. District 38 had a few... not enough, and District 40 had about like 1,100 not enough. So what we also tried to do in the Minot area was we tried to make it as contiguous as, well, we had to make it contiguous, but we tried to square up the districts as best we could. This area right in where the red marker is now used to be part of District 38. And what we did here, knowing that District 40 needed a whole bunch of people, 40's line used to be right about here. We just dropped them down to pick up this whole area. And as you can see, District 40 is now minus 2.17. We also in District 40 went a little east. We gave them the McKinley Township and I believe it was the Margaret Township. I think those are the two townships from District 3. And that gave... District 40, yeah, if think is this one here, no, I'm sorry, excuse me. Yeah, the McKinley and the Margaret, we gave them these two townships, these used to be in District 3. And by doing that, that lowered District 3 population to a positive 2.7. And it also made District 40 a minus 2.17.
Larry, the, and I might have missed it, I know you said it the other day, the external boundaries of the greater Minot area remain the same.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. What we did when we initially started is exactly what John did yesterday. We added up all the populations and divided by four. And by doing that, we felt that we could keep the external boundaries exactly the same as a preliminary plan. So basically, that's what we did to District 40. We dropped it down here and we added these two townships. And as you can see, District 40 takes in roughly a half the base. And District 38 over here takes in the other half of the base. And those lines remained unchanged from last census. Now, in District 38 here, what we did, we'll go back down to this area, John, if we can. Yes, if you could, John, that'd be better.
You point to the area?
Right in this area. What we did in District 38, we squared up the line. This is 16th Street in Minot. It's a major hub in Minot. So we drew the line straight down. Our district used to come over here on 7th Street and did some zigzaggings in here. So we drew the line straight down to the Canadian Pacific Railway tracks, and then we went straight west to the bypass. We already had all this area over here. So, and then we just added this area in here. And for a point of information, this area where I got the red mark now, about 90% of those homes flooded. So I'm not sure how many people will be there in the future, but.
Larry?
Yes.
Where's the mall? Is the mall on this map?
We will have to go further south to get
the
mall.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to, because I know where the mall is, and I know where the main street is, but I don't know.
Well, this is Service Valley Golf Course here, if anybody knows where the golf course is, and that's all in District 5. Arrowhead Shopping Center is right about here. That's Oak Park, one of our nicest parks in the city. Then what we also did on District 38, because we went at that so-called magical minus 4.5. We took a small area here from District 5 and another small area here from District 5, and that put us at the minus 4.33. In District 5, they went to a minus 3.33. And the final change we made was the Afton Township line, if you want to go south, John, some more. This little area right here used to be District 5. Now, if you live in Minot, you know this whole area here is a big trailer park. And it was so confusing for these people here, they didn't know what ward they were in or where they voted. So we just took the district line and we straightened it out and we put all of Afton Township into District 38, including that little, now the whole trailer court's in District 38 instead of about 18 or 20 voters or people. Basically, that's what we did, Mr. Chairman. We redrew about a half a dozen lines. And
where's Green Acres?
Okay, Green Acres would be right about here.
Okay, and that has been in?
Right here. That's been in District 5 since I can remember.
And the mall?
The mall would be, Green Acres is here, the mall would be right in this area.
Are there questions?
So our ultimate goal was to try to keep the area the same and to square it up the best we could. And I have personally met with three of the districts. The 40th district, we will meet sometime in the first part of August and discuss this, and I'm sure they'll have some additional input.
Senator Taylor had a question.
you know, the minority doesn't have much issue in Minot now, but did, of your legislators, did you affect any of their residences?
We did not. We did not affect any legislative residencies. And that wasn't what we had in mind when we started drawing the line, so.
Any additional questions about the ideas out of Minot? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Larry. And you'll let us know at our next meeting how everything else went in Minot regarding meeting with the rest of the folks. I know that there are, someone from Fargo want to mention their schedule, what their plans are.
Mr. Chairman, we'll be meeting Monday, August 1st to start, for the effort, it'll start the first part of August, reaching out to the Fargo CAS legislators.
Okay, and you, and I know I visited with you last night, you're meeting with the members of the Majority Caucus, and you have, you're working on arranging through Senator Nelson to meet with the minority party folks to get their input and talk about what's going on. Okay? And Bismarck, we already, they've been working, and they have a few issues that they're going to be addressing. Representative Nathie?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we'll be meeting, hopefully next week, I'll be meeting with the legislators from all four districts here in Bismarck, and we'll report back to you as far as what our findings are, so.
Are you going to come in with a plan that crosses the Missouri River?
Right now, my intention is not to.
I was going to ask Senator Cook if he was going to cross the Missouri, but I know that there's a reason they're keeping the sandbags over there. Senator Cook.
Our biggest challenge might be that the river changes itself and that part of Bismarck could come to Morton County and vice versa.
So, Mr. Chairman, we'll only cross river if Senator Cook wants to get rid of one of his representatives.
That's why you move 1,101 people. You just get that one. Okay, the Williston area. Senator Leeson, do you want to talk about discussions up in the Williston area? We looked at Williston on the computer the other day. Do you want to put up 1 and 2?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, we have not met, but we will be meeting next week, I hope, if everything goes right with District 2 people. Right now...
Yeah, hold on just 1 minute. He's going to put up District 1 and 2 up on the board.
Just so everybody understands, the District 1 is the city of Williston. And it don't go outside of the city of Williston for District 1 at this point.
Anyway, District 1 is probably one of the most compact districts in the United States for a legislative district because it's partially circular. A circle is ideal, but you can't divide the state up into 47 circles and not have something left over.
So District 2 actually needs some people, but to give them people would be easier to take them out of Williston, but it has to get rid of some people. So we looked at the northwest part of Williston, and can you pull just District 1 up, John? If you look at District 1 up there...
Oh, give him the... Here.
Oh.
Oh, he has one of those little pointer things.
Stop button.
But no batteries. Oh, there it is.
Right up in here is where we're looking at. Now, as you see the map here, it don't show a lot, but this is where we're looking at taking this and giving it to District 2. However, what we got to remember is right in this area here, there's a trailer court that's got 300 trailer houses in it already since the census. Over here, there's 550 units being built right now. Down here, there's 250 units that are built but not complete, not inhabited yet. So we can't even figure those into this stuff. So we got to keep the ones that's there. So District 2 is going to be way over in 10 years. But that's, so it's right in here that we're looking at taking the area to give it to District 2. I didn't really want to give that to them because I carried that, the percentage up there was, for me, was very high.
Yeah, but without an opponent, it's not easy, hard to do.
But we couldn't, there's no other place to take it from to get, where there's no other population to get it from, except from there. So that's what we're looking at, but we will be meeting next week, and then I'll get back to everybody to, so that they know what how District 2 feels and how the Democrats in that area feel about it, too, because we're going to have them, or invite them to the table, too.
And then, of course, you interface at the end of the day, or District 2 interfaces with District 4, and
and I haven't talked to John about
with
this,
six.
But, District 2 is probably going to have to give some people back to 4, right south of Stanley. So, and we're going to have to sit down about that, John, and talk, cause I don't know how much or anything.
Do you want to use your microphone, John?
Yeah, District 4 is open to doing whatever we need to do, but the plans that we've been looking at pretty much left our northwest corner alone and expanded District 4 on the southeast, heading it down the Missouri Valley.
Into McLean County a little more.
Yeah.
But you have to go quite a ways, don't you, to find people?
Well, we would probably pick up all of the rest of McLean County. That puts us a little bit, that's almost at 5% over. We've looked at, that includes the city of Wilton, which is virtually in Burley County. And if we took Wilton out of that mix, then it would probably be okay. But it's a major expansion.
Representative Devlin is going to comment because he has also been working on trying to fit the big picture in as you go around the edges. Representative Devlin, do you want to back out just a little bit so we see 2-6?
Yeah.
2-6 and 4.
Yeah. When I looked at it after meeting with Senator Leeson, I didn't do anything with 4 in that area. What I did was take Burke County out of District 2 and move it over to District 6. That made 6 whole. Two was fine because of what they got from Williston, and it didn't affect 4 in that area at all. I think it might, you know, another option maybe with 4, maybe more of Dunn County to the south instead of going into McLean County, just because when you take that population out of Mandan, that affects about 3 other districts going around to the south and west there. So, and same with the area that you have to take out of Dickinson. So, you know, one option may be to look at all or most of Dunn County in District 4 and not affect what you have in McLean County, but that's just one of the options.
And there are no, not that we care, but there are no incumbent legislators living in that area of Dunn County.
No. And like I say, if you move Burke County over, District 6 becomes whole. It becomes less of a problem to fix that whole area up there, too, if you do that, so.
Do we have, though, and I know a few of you have worked on plans, we have the area in Minot, which comes in overall just slightly under. You have Grand Forks that comes in slightly under. Are we building up, as you went across, did you see we were building up this pocket of too many people that we're ending up with, you know, an extra 4,000 people someplace that we have no place for? Or have you been able to disperse them as you've worked on tentative concepts?
Because when I looked at, you know, when I started in the Northeast and worked all the way down, but when I got into Cass County
and figured the 10 districts that they would logically have with the population, there's, you know, close to 6,000 people left over there, and that's what I used to fix areas down there. I didn't finish 8 and 14, because I didn't know exactly what Burley County was looking at and the city of Bismarck, so until somebody tells me exactly what they're going to do, it's kind of difficult to do the rural districts around them, but I don't see that there's a pocket of population anywhere that that's going to be a problem, and most of the ones that I was looking at all were in that -2 to +2 range. The only one that I looked at, and I didn't look at changing it, was 39, I think we talked about yesterday, just because they were closer to what, -4.5 or whatever, but there really wasn't an easy way to do that one unless you wanted to take 4 townships out of Dunn County or whatever, and I just thought it was so much better in that area to follow the county line and leave the reservation in 4 where it is, so I didn't do anything with that at all. So Representative Munson and I have a little disagreement on exactly how we start in the Northeast, but we'll work that out. We blew up the computer last night trying to do it, but I think it is solvable.
Senator Christman.
Mr. Chairman, I stand to be corrected. I haven't had the computer yet, so you know, this is kind of doing math roughly in my head, so it could be pretty far off, but if you could go to a map of the whole state and the current alignment. And I bring this up because you mentioned building up a trend where, you know, you're short, or the other way. It appears to me that a rule of thumb that could be used here to avoid doing that when you're structuring a plan, if you draw a line so that districts west of and including, and I'll start at Canada, but now including districts 9, 7, 14, and 28, those 4 districts and everything to the west is 23 districts, and from there east are 24. And I believe the current populations of the 23 to the west would be quite a bit less than 0.5% off on average, and from there east would be less than 0.5% off. I think the west would be high, the east would be short, but within 0.5%. So when you're working on a plan, if you can keep it contained to 1/2 of the state, it prohibits a trend from pushing to the opposite end.
That is similar. We haven't done it since, but in 1981, when it was mostly done by hand by the folks who are who were on the committee, we got a booklet which had done exactly that. It had divided the state into like 8 or 10 areas, and each one of those areas had, you know, 5 districts in this area, 3 districts in this area, so that if Representative or Senator Klein wanted to work on an area, he had the area and he knew he could do anything within that area and it would not affect anybody else. The way it is now, as Representative Devlin knows and Representative Munson and others, I think you've done some of that statewide issues. You keep bumping the problem around until you end up with this area.
That's really a nice working line, though, I think.
John?
Mr. Chairman, I'm sure that can be done. Whether we actually, you know, partition like that or you just use that as a rule of thumb, I think the only issue that really comes to mind in that division is that you are probably tied to certain county splits. And then just looking at it, it appears it only would be the District 28 where you were splitting some of the counties there. I think the rest along that line,
Benson County.
Yeah, Benson County. know, so other than that, you know, if it would tie you to those certain splits, I don't see that there's any issue. And it's a idea, just a rule of thumb to kind of work within those confines, if you like.
I'm thinking, Mr. Chairman, similar to what we're doing with some of the cities, that, well, here's something we could segregate and it kind of fits.
The other folks who have worked on plans in that northwest area, north central area, all of the configurations that you have continue the split in Benson County? Rick, okay. And how about the south of the interstate, that Lemoore Dickey area? You've worked in that area.
Start working in that, and the thing I see here is, we are, as I can see this morning, trying to maintain. We work on the urban centers, and then some of us have worked on the rural, and that in itself, when we get towards the end, is going to create a dilemma. But it's a dilemma I think we want to have. Since most of the rural lost population. Just solving Grand Forks, Fargo, Minot, and Bismarck doesn't necessarily solve the rest of it. That's where I see us getting into the real. You know, if you got 47 and 8 here, how do you deal with those really lopsided numbers as opposed to, and then in Fargo, you're dealing with 27, 13, and then Cass County General, you've got some huge numbers to deal with there. So just balancing the city isn't going to solve. Problem.
We're doing the easy things first.
I know, exactly.
And then at the end of the day.
It's good to do because it's going to get very complex when they start putting it all together. So, Senator, your line, your idea does kind of put it all together with your concept there of east, west, or quarters, or wherever you want to draw lines. It does mathematically bring it together so that we start dealing with the bigger picture. But what we're doing today, I think, is good because it does get easier. Starting in Grand Forks, that would be really easy.
It was. And we will pass out clothespins for all of us to wear when we get down to the to the final areas. And there will be, no matter how you do it, there's going to be some areas that are going to be ugly. And it's just the nature of the beast. Representative Munson.
Just going back to the splitting counties up. I guess when I was working on them, if they had been split up in the last, if they're split now, if I could put them together, I did. But if I had to keep counties split to make populations work, I kept the ones that had been split before split in the new plans that I was putting together. So that's just kind of what I was working with. So like in Benson County, it's been split. I left it split because I needed to split it. Same with some of the other ones, Towner County. I think I was able to get Towner County whole in my plan. I know Representative Devlin split it. Cavalier County, at 10 years ago, it was split and now it's whole. Some of the time I did split it back to the way it was 10 years ago, and some of the time I left it whole. But there's a lot of split counties in there, and I don't know how we're going to not have a lot of split ones in there.
There is, of course, the trophy of split counties goes to Morton County. They are divided in more ways than anyone else, you know, when you don't count a city county, you know, like a ward county. They've got three separate counties plus three separate districts plus the city. And I'm sure that has some folks in at the county courthouse saying, why can't we do something about that? So they win the trophy from last time, I believe. Senator Cook.
Mr. Chairman, Chairman, you may call that winning the trophy, but if you live and represent constituents in Morton County, they don't call what they won a trophy. They get rather vocal at it, and, you know, Morton County, what's interesting is the population of Morton County today is just about perfect for two districts. And, but 10 years ago, and I know the challenge in southwest North Dakota, you start down there in 39, and you started working, and unfortunately, 10 years ago, that area in Morton County became the area where the population was discovered to keep four districts whole. And, but, you know, I've looked at some ideas. I might present some ideas that might try to rectify that, but it'll come with some challenges. But all in all, Mr. Chairman, if you want southwest North Dakota, six districts out there, two of them are, we could leave just as they are.
33 and 39?
33 and probably 39. The two urban districts, Dickinson District, that's 37, and my district, 34, the city of Mandan, both of them have considerably more people. I think Dickinson is around 1,600-1,700 more, Mandan's close to 1,500 more. District 31, District 36 are both slightly under, but you could keep the external boundaries of those six districts the same, do some small changes to the internal boundaries, and you could keep six districts there very easily. All of them would be slightly over, probably.
And so when you are looking at an idea from the standpoint of a Morton Countyer, that would make some changes, but you're going to be looking at that as a possibility, although that would do some shifting in the other districts.
That's what it does. It does some shifting in the other districts, and some pretty large population shifts that, well, it may require an election in an odd-numbered district, for example, but I've played with it a little bit. I'm going to look at it some more. We will get together. We have three legislators here from the Southwest serving on this committee. We have not yet set a time where we can all get down, but I'm sure Dickinson will take care of Dickinson, and hopefully at one of the next meetings we got a plan or two to present.
Okay.
Randy or Nancy, want to?
And Senator Cook has the advantage. He can just drive across the river and get help from Vonette and John as far as
I don't worry as much as you do about knowing all of the getting addicted to that computer program. It's one addiction I could go without, I think, and so.
If I was able to put it on this, I would take off Angry Birds and I would use the redistricting, but I can't even get Dave's redistricting on this machine because of Apple. Okay. Dickinson. Nancy, do you want to mention?
Well, I've not yet had a chance to work, Mr. Chairman, with the program, so I'm doing my numbers on paper. And if we're shooting for the 14,310, District 39 is 660-some under, 36 is 459 under, and Dickinson itself is 1,100 over. So, you know, we can fairly easily shift some down to the other district. I don't know how we deal with 39. I mean, that's a huge district to begin with, and, you know, I don't know if that committee, we're going to decide to let them be under by a considerable amount or the 4.5% or not. You know, I think we could work it, but we just have to keep chunking out more heading towards Mandan.
Senator Cook,
there
in response.
Goes again. I just want to make sure we're all working with the same numbers now. I'm just looking at this sheet that's in our book from the first meeting, and I assume the numbers here are the same that the numbers are up there, or aren't they? Because I show District 39 as being only 299 low. So what numbers are we going to
be? Mr. Chairman, I was using, I mean, that's a current census for, what, 13,600 for a legislative district. I was using the 14,310 for 47 districts with the new census numbers. That's where I got my numbers.
Senator Cook, the numbers that I think you're looking at are the, when it says plus or minus a certain amount, that's increase or decrease over the 2001 numbers.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
So anyway, we have moved around and we've kind of left off getting a lot of input right at this moment from the rural areas, but it would appear that the major city areas or the people that represent those areas have been working on them. Is there, Senator Klein, do you have any observations? We will use that term today, and we're not wasting time until the maps come down, but we're kind of moving slow till the maps come down.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess it's easy to have an observation when you live in Wells County that was down whatever 100 or District 14 rather, but I guess the observation would be that as a rural county and the city seem to be able to keep their boundaries pretty well, we're going to be looking hard for numbers, but I see this as as I sat here the last few meetings and seemed to be overwhelmed by the magnitude, I think, of what we're attempting to do or what we have to do to get to to meet these numbers that we're looking for. I see this is a big job, and I know. Thank you for you folks who have spent. Have been addicted for 7 or 8 or 10 hours or maybe even more, but hopefully we can get there and still maintain some sort of integrity to the lines. But I think the other issue is, as I see it, that I think, and you've said it before, that we work hard for 47 districts, and I'm hoping that maybe we can just that somebody will stick their neck out there and take a look at 49 and see how that really rocks the boat. And whether or not that'd be totally off the table, but I do believe that we need to work hard on this 47 district. But that'd be my observation, and then see if anything else falls into place that would be more simple for some of us out in the country.
You, of course, come from a district that has the unenviable position of being next to 29, which really needs people. And keep in mind that 29 does not. It needs more people than that particular chart up there would seem to indicate, because District 12 needs people, and they can only take them from 29.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
As I look at this, what we've been doing this morning is very helpful to me. You were just mentioning here, if we want to keep, our urban-rural concept, which it seems like we've been working towards, the interesting thing is when we get down towards the end here, if we work on the cities as we've been doing this morning, that's good. I like that. It was helpful. But, of course, then the real dilemma comes up as the cities' populations are going to be probably a couple districts long, and when we do the rural, we're going to be a couple districts short, and how we deal with that problem is something I don't want to address it right now, but I think that's something that's sort of the elephant in the room we're going to have to deal with at some point, as to if Cass, Burley, and Morton, for example, need more districts, then we're going to have to, how we're going to address that is going to be one of those very controversial dilemmas we're going to have to deal with. But it seems like it's there, and will have to be dealt with.
Well, the thing is, as we all know, it can be done. It's
right.
Just, number one, how ugly does it look, and number two, how passable is it when it gets to the legislature? Because we have to keep that in mind, and that's why it's so important that you all, whether you're in the minority party or the majority party, be working with the folks that you work with to try to get the best lines. Representative Munson.
Well, Representative Holman kind of hit on something but didn't really say it, but when you have a new district or two in a Cass County or in Fargo, it has to come from someplace else, and that means that some rural district, at least one, is going to disappear. There will no longer be a rural district out there someplace, because we have all lost population, and by the time you take just a population from one rural district that borders another one that is lost, pretty soon it's just snowballed to the point where you're down to 6,000 people left in the middle of nowhere, and that district can't exist. So you're going to have to just keep moving it out to the edges, to the cities, and some of those, like in Cass County, one that I was working on was 22, which is rural Cass County, but rural Cass County's number 22 actually becomes very urban in one of my plans. So if we can do that, where we kind of have an urban rural mix, the pain may not be quite as bad for the rural, but I know the urban people are saying, we got enough people to have a full urban district. Why should we share with the rural people? And that's going to be where the pinch maybe comes in around some of the larger cities, especially in Cass County and Burley County. And, you know, we've got a problem, but we will face the fact that some rural legislators are going to be running against each other, and their district is going to disappear. And that's sad to say, but if we're going to stay with 47, that's what the effect will be.
I mentioned the other day, you know, when in the old days when Jamestown was split in half, and actually the city of Jamestown controlled the two districts, we had the same situation in 81 in rural Grand Forks County. In order to continue District 19, or to give 19 the population, we took part of the city of Grand Forks, and the folks in District 19 complained for 10 years about having to appeal to this precinct in the city of Grand Forks. They could hardly wait to get rid of it, and we did in 91. We put it all back in the city. So it's an interesting dynamic, and what Bismarck wants to advocate for has great implications for 8, 14, and 28, I think would be the numbers that would be impacted by that. Anything else? Senator Christman and then Senator Cook.
Just an observation. Imagine how much different our budget would look, Mr. Chairman, if we operated our budgets like we do our redistricting, where we set a parameter and that was locked in, and now each time you want to add some more here, you had to show where you're taking it from.
I see you're being very consistent. Let's see how that looks on October 11th when we do the final. But it is, yeah, it is interesting. Senator Cook.
Well, you just made a point here a while ago that I guess I hadn't given thought, and that's District 12 in Jamestown being in the center of 29. It's got a poll population. We don't have anybody here from Jamestown. Are you working with the Jamestown folks?
They will be worked with.
Okay. There's a plan there. Okay.
Yep. Because they have, I'm sure that if you look at the map, can you throw up Jamestown? That didn't sound good. Can you put Jamestown up on the map? There it is. You see, I mean, they can only go out of District 29, and we won't point out where any incumbents live, but one of the incumbents does live in that little notch, right up in there, right up along the water, I think. And then the other two incumbents in District 29, again, not that we worry about where incumbents live, but they don't live here. They don't live in the city of Jamestown. But, you know, the city of Jamestown, District 12, has to grow. And then that just exacerbates the problem in 29. And they're surrounded by places that don't have, 29 is surrounded by places that don't have a lot of, counties that don't have a lot of people, you know. You can throw Kidder County into that mix, and there's just not many people there. There's Kidder, right? Yep. Okay, anyone else have a, yes, Senator Cook?
I just see the population of Jamestown is 15,427. I mean, it's, only has to find 1,000 people to take out of it for 29.
Yep, and now it takes out quite a bit more. And the enumeration districts around there are kind of weird, too. It's not, it's too bad. Well, and we saw that question the other day when we looked at Mandan. It's too bad that the people who actually have to do this work, like, certainly I would hope, Senator Cook, that 10 years from now, you would be in the county auditor's office over in Morton County saying, you've got to put in better lines that we can follow, because the Census Bureau will follow the lines. It's just, if they just use city districts, city boundaries. I had a question for Representative Ballou. Did you use city, the city limits in your suggested plan in the Minot area, or did you use hard number, hard geographical features like streets, rivers?
Mr. Chairman, we use geographical, like streets and stuff. We didn't use the city boundaries.
Okay. Senator Leeson?
I just came up with a thought, because I don't know what you're going to do with this. I understand that there is some challenges to the census, and if those challenges are held up, then what are we going to do?
Punt. John keeps track, John and Vanette keep track of the legal issues, and I'm sure, I believe, John, you're at NCSL, or Vanette, one of you two?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'll be at NCSL, and we'll meet with the Census Bureau there, but I don't anticipate any issues that will arise for us with respect to census challenges. We certainly have issues that are in question. I think there are a lot of people that believe there are a number of people that may not have been counted in certain areas of the state, but the challenges that I'm aware of are not things that would affect our process in any way, at this point anyway.
Well, Mr. Chairman, yes. I'm only thinking about District 1. My understanding is the challenge there is significant. If they didn't count the people that they counted up there, and the thing had said that they lived in Timbuktu, but they're really living there, and so that census was sent to Timbuktu and not kept here, and there's a, I understand there's a big hassle in that, so I'm just saying that there could be a big change around or something. I have no idea what the process is or anything else, but.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman and Senator Leeson, you know, the census is a count at one point in time, you know, census day, basically, and it's relying upon the people that are contacted in those areas responding, and upon them, you know, telling are they a resident of Williston, or are they a resident of somewhere in Colorado or Texas. And that, I'm sure that is an issue there, but I don't know that there's anything that will ever be able to be done about that. You know, there are some areas in the country that have asked for recounts or another census count, and those are expensive. They may, you know, some areas may undertake their own, but we're bound by our state constitution to base our redistricting upon federal decennial census numbers, and those are the numbers that were released in March.
I understand that, but if the challenge is held that it wasn't done right, will the census be changed for the one in March that you're talking about? If somebody does challenge and it's upheld?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Leeson, I hope we'll hear more about this in a couple of weeks at NCSL from the Census Bureau people, but historically, nothing has amounted, nothing significant has amounted from any of these challenges. Every 10 years, somebody contests certain numbers, and, you know, the general result is very little changes, because, again, it's that count on one day every 10 years, basically, is what it comes down to. And they, I would be surprised if anything came of any of those, anything that would significantly affect what we do would come up of any type of challenge. You know, if the people of Williams County asked for another recount, there could be a count of the people, but it would be a count of the people today. That would not be consistent with the count of the people of the rest of the state 1 year ago. And you could then argue that it would be inappropriate to use, it would be unfair to use a count today as opposed to a count 1 year ago for the remainder of the state. So that, and then again, our Constitution says, based upon the federal decennial census numbers, not upon, if the Census Bureau were to say, okay, yeah, we were wrong, we missed a bunch of people, but we have the data here that shows that this is a number, then that would probably be reflective in a changed data from them, but I that would be pretty unlikely, I think.
I think the easiest way to describe it, I like to use it this way. April 1st, 2010, the Census Bureau took a photograph of North Dakota, and where you were then is where you are, and that's what the Constitution says we have to use. Now, you might move immediately after that photograph was taken, but the Constitution says we have to use that photograph. And Stan is absolutely right. There's been a lot of change. There's been change in Minot that they won't really know about until later. We had, on the other end of the spectrum, we had huge changes at the Grand Forks Air Force Base, and they keep telling us that those numbers are going to start shooting up now in the very near future. But the photograph taken April 1st of 2010 indicated that there were 2,000 some people on base, not 8,000. Representative Casper had his hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. I served on the House GVA committee for 5 sessions, and we addressed the North Dakota election law many times during those sessions, and one of the things came up was about residency, and this pertains to North Dakota law, but I think it would be similar to federal law. And under our current statutes, your residence in North Dakota is where you say it is until you officially change it. And it came up a lot where you had farmers having a farm home and moved into the city. Well, where was their residence? If they said their residence is my farm, it's their farm. Even though they might be living in the city, if they don't officially change a residence, it's the farm. So when the census is counted, when these people in the Wilson area or any place in North Dakota are contacted by the census people and they say, where is your residence? And if they say, my residence is Arkansas, even though they're living in Williston or Fargo or wherever, their residence is Arkansas and they're not counted in our census. So I would assume that a lot of the people who are there and may be there for 3 or 4 or 5 years but do not wish to change residency, their residency is their home state that they claim it is. They violate North Dakota law if in the next election, without declaring their residence to be a North Dakota residence if they vote in the next election. So, but they would have the right to change their residence, and within 30 days of the election they could vote. So I think federal law would probably be consistent, although I don't know for sure.
I agree with Jim. My experience has been when I first started to run, there were, yeah, you already got that one. I had neighbors that were from, I hate to say it, but they were from Pembina County. And they lived in Grand Forks. They lived in Grand Forks for years and years and years, but they always voted in Pembina County. And you've got those situations that you're aware of. We're starting to pass out some of the maps that had been requested. I believe you got a map of the state. These are maps of the current districts. They are not maps of any of the, of the state. 1, 2, 3. Six. Okay, here's six maps, and these are the maps of the current Bismarck-Mandan area. Oh, here. And John is passing out current map of the Fargo area. You've got Bisman. They're coming, you should, have you got the, you've got the big one.
Yeah.
Okay. Here is Bisman. John? Oh, it didn't go very far. Here's Bisman.
Is also current?
Yes.
Oh. Grand Forks is being passed over this way to the 456. And thank you, Jim, for asking for these, because these are a lot easier to look at than a computer screen. John, that John? These are, that is Grand Forks. You're short of Grand Forks? One, two, three. Here's Grand Forks. I didn't get a Fargo.
I passed the mic. I need a Fargo down there because I might have sent Reese.
I need a Fargo. This is Minot. Yeah. Do you want to grab me a? Give me two Minot.
So you only have half a Lincoln? So half of it's an eight.
It's fault. I had no problem with that. He wanted to get involved. John, I had no problem. We tried to load together.
How many people do you think you got those?
Well, we can't get it. You'll have to get a bunch.
Elevation.
Let's look at our calendars for, I would like to have something in like Lakota or someplace in that area. Is that with the legislators?
Oh, excuse me, I thought you were going to.
No. To meet and invite the people from 15, 10, 19, 7, yeah. And I don't know if Lakota is the perfect place, but it's, I mean, we don't want them to have to come to Grand Forks. That's way too far. Lakota's in the middle. They got a Dairy Queen. Is there a meeting place in Lakota?
Yeah, there's a meeting place. It's on that name, not a nice meeting.
That's a fellowship.
Okay. Do you want to look at your calendars?
That's identification of that 3320 in that case. But here's the population underneath it.
Okay. And then this would be the population of Lincoln right here. Then. Without
total? Yeah, I can't really see it, but I assume.
24.
Well, not for a couple weeks.
And is that the total?
That's the total.
How about mid-August? Mid-August.
August is bad for farmers. This year, everything is going to be so late. Is everybody getting the process here? I'd like it before late August, because I will have crop ready to burn. Is everybody get mine out?
How about the week, sometime in the week of 16, 17, 18, 19. Remember, the committee meets in Fargo the 23rd.
That week is completely open for me.
It's open for me. And it'll be open for any legislator. Right. That's why I was looking at that. Well, what we want to make sure we have is the computer, but
the worst part is not having the big screen.
Yeah.
That makes all the difference whether having five people looking over your shoulder.
But the big screen, that...
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's possible to, I mean, people have them. Are big screens, I mean, your projectors, I don't know anything about technology, are they generic?
Kind of.
Like, do you have, does the council have a number of them, or does it just have...
We might have two projectors.
Projectors are pretty...
Yeah, yeah, you could...
They're standard.
Yeah, well, that's them, if you want to...
We're looking at having a meeting in Lakota of the Northeast. Of the Northeast, and it's much easier if you have a projector.
Mr. Chairman, John.
Yes.
You know, I can, how tough would it be, like, to get 29 and 94 on here? That would give some of us dummies a lot more perspective of where things are, and, because, would that be tough?
You can use your magnifying glass, so you can get that on.
Okay. Mr. Chair, yeah, Mr. Chairman, I've also been asked if I can do, make it into a PDF to email to you, things like that. I think what we'll try to do is we'll put them in the minutes, we'll redo these, put them in the minutes. I'll see if I can't change the scale to put some of the roads on, like Representative Kelch asked. And as I put them in the minutes, if I can make them into whatever we do, if we do a PDF or whatever, I'll also email each of you the whatever I put in the minutes, and I'll try to make them as usable as I can that way, okay?
Okay. And Senator Taylor, I know it's closest to your area, so I'm assuming that you will be providing some kind of a meal for us if we go to Devil's Lake. And, oh.
I'll give a bad gas.
For you, Mr. Chairman.
But, you know, by the way, his wife serves delicious pie. I've had pie there once. But I just thought of something that the council staff has to, that we have to take into consideration. We were looking at September 27th, 28th, in that area. Are the hotels there full of hunters yet? Okay, that would be Devil's Lake. Fishermen. And fisherwomen. Okay.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, well, we will try to contact hotels in Devil's Lake right away to see if we can't get a block of rooms, and then if there's an issue, we'll let you know as soon as we can to deal with that.
Yes. Representative Casper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if the other committee members would like additional copies like in the Fargo area, but when Senator Grinberg and I meet with the Fargo legislators, I think it would be helpful if we would have
two more.
25 or 30 additional copies. I know it's a matter now of pressing a button because you have the format and just mailing them out to us, but I would like to have additional copies to give to some of the, at least one per district would be helpful, so those legislators would be able to maybe go have a cup of coffee and look at what they might like to think about lines in their area.
Okay, Representative Casper, we'll mail you additional copies of Fargo. We may need to add the special session to add to our ink budget right now. Bismarck, too?
Bismarck, too, please. Yeah. Take it out of the majority leader's travel budget.
Anything else today?
I think he's talking about the House leader.
Okay. We will then finish up. Is there anything else, John, that we need to address?
No, Mr. Chairman, we will. We haven't sent the meeting notice for the next meeting. We'll get that out as soon as possible. We will look at hotel rooms in Devil's Lake, is there any other requests, and the maps that were just requested, is there anything else that you need from us before we forget?
And it isn't the council's headache as far, well, it is the council's headache from the standpoint of the technology that is in the computers and having them run, but as far as the physical presence of where they are, I know Senator Klein has the Senate Republican computer, and it appears that John Warner still has their computer, and Rick has theirs, and the House computer is Munson? Oh, that's the one that had a flat tire.
Yeah.
That's still up in Legislative Council. So, yes.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if we could get Legislative Council to send us an update on all of our committees, because some of us got reservations because of the other ones we got. Some of us made reservations in Bismarck, and now, right. Now we're going to go to Devil's Lake or go to Fargo. So if we could get an update on when the meetings are going to be and where they're going to be, so we could straighten out our own hotel reservations.
Right. I ended up with two reservations this time at the same hotel here in Bismarck.
I think that would help if we could do that.
Okay. Okay. We're done.
Fargo, too, would be nice to know. I mean, I'd go get some Delta rooms type thing, you know, so we don't end up all of them. It's much easier.
Oh, that's right.
Vanette, are you folks going to do the same thing with Fargo to get a block of rooms? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you don't know if you're late for last year or early for next year kind of thing. You know, Facebook is...
Could we try to consider family or something like that?
We could try. I don't really see many Palos up in the Northwest.
Well, I don't either.
It's one of the things we're looking at is Palo. Palo did nicely. I gave it six when I was redoing.
Well, I have no problem with